the text for my message, I mean David's message today, Proverbs 19, verse 21. So if you don't already have it marked, I'll give you a second to find it. As David has pointed out many times, it's not only important that we hear the word of God, but that we look at it, we see it, that it can impress upon our mind what it truly says. 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let us pray. Lord, we pray now as David comes to unpack this verse this morning, that you will help us to tune out the world and tune into you. Give us ears to hear that we might hear what the Spirit wants to say to us today, that it might enhance our walk with you. We can look back in past times and see where Jesus has been out ahead of us and has led the way, and we've taken the right pathways that have led to good things. And we look back and see where we made our own decisions and things might not have worked out so good. So we just pray that we'll heed your message this morning and be able to understand the pathways that you choose for us. We thank you for one of the pathways that you led David and Brianna down, led to Tanglewood Bible Fellowship. What a joy it's been to have them here. And we thank you for the way you've blessed and given David the ability, the gift of preaching your word, teaching your word. And we just have been marveled at the way that he preaches with a depth and a maturity beyond his years. And we just pray as he comes to give us this lesson this morning, that you will bless him and speak through him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, I can tend to have lots of anxiety when it comes to making decisions, especially when I have to decide between two things that both seem really good. And I've kind of always been this way. One of my early memories as a kid is one day my dad asked me, "Hey, do you want to go to work with me today?" And that sounds like a normal thing for maybe you when you were growing up. Maybe you got asked a question like that. But for me, it ended up with me crying hysterically in the driveway because I couldn't decide if I wanted to go with my dad to work or not. Because while I could go with my dad to the office, and I don't usually get to do that, that could be really fun, could be different. He might go on an errand. Maybe I could go somewhere and do that. But if I go with him, then I'm not going to be at home. And my siblings are home, and they might play a game, and then I don't get to play the game, or maybe then my mom does something crazy that she doesn't normally do since I'm not there, and I miss out. And so what do I do? And that just ended in lots of tears. It was paralyzing, at least for me. Now, sometimes maybe it doesn't feel that way for you, but when we try to discern God's will, we're trying to figure out what is God's purpose for me? What does God want for me to do? What is this decision that I have? Sometimes it can feel that paralyzing, even if it doesn't quite lead to tears in your parents' driveway. How do I know what the right thing to do is? Does God want me to take this opportunity and move on? Does God want me to marry this person, or does he not? Or what do we do? Well, this morning our proverb here, in Proverbs 19:21, is going to show us how we can be wise in our planning. And really, how can we make decisions and trust in God's purpose. And I hope here that we'll find some encouragement in this verse that can keep us from anxiety when it comes to making decisions. And so our first point, if you're taking notes, is that our plans often fail. Our plans often fail. The proverb begins, "As many are the plans in the minds of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." We'll start just focusing on that first part of the verse. What does it say about the plans that we make? Well, it says there's a lot of plans that we have in our minds, a lot of plans that we have in our hearts. And we make tons of these, but they only kind of stay there. Because the second part of the verse tells us, well, it's only God's purpose that stands. Which, if God's purpose stands, what's that imply about our plans? They don't. They fail. And they fall. Proverbs is telling us that we can and we do. We make all these plans. We make plan after plan after plan of what we're going to do, but then they fail. They don't work. They fall apart. They don't come to pass. And we've all seen and felt this happen. You can think about, just your simple plans, like the plans for the day. What am I planning on doing today? And how often just those little plans can fall apart. Someone, too, makes lots of plans. I probably make too many plans. My wife will say I make too many. One of the first things I do in the morning is I start trying to make plans. I want to plot out the day. before I eat breakfast, before I start making breakfast for the kids, I need to plan out my other meals too, because I want to know what those are going to be so that can impact what I'm doing for breakfast. All right, if I'm going to have a big lunch, well, maybe I want to have a smaller breakfast. Well, if I have this for lunch, then, well, what about dinner? So I've got to figure this all out. And our kids are young, and we both work full time, so we have to talk too before I leave the house. Okay, you know, what's the plan for today? What are we doing with the kids? Does Calvin need to be picked up? Who's picking them up from school? Where do we need to go? Do you have a meeting? Do I need to take them? Are you taking them? You know, what are we doing? So we leave in the morning, and we got a plan for the day. It doesn't take very long for that plan to get thrown off the rails. Get in the car, and then it doesn't start. Oh, well, that ruins my plans. Now this is my day. Or get a phone call. Hey, Calvin's sick. Now someone's got to take him to the doctor. I'm sure you've had that happen to you all the time, too, in the morning. Or throughout the day, or the boss calls, gives you an extra project. You get a phone call and it turns your whole day or your whole life upside down. It really doesn't take long at all for our plans to get ruined. Maybe you had plans just growing up of what your life was going to look like when you got older. You had certain dreams in high school of what you were going to do or what you were going to be. In high school, I was planning I wanted to be an architect. Or you go to college and you have a plan of what that's going to look like. You pick a major and think, this is going to be it. Here's the industry. Here's the path. This is what it's going to lead me to. Things don't work out. You change your major. And you change it again. Or you're able to get a job, or you weren't able to get the job that you hoped for. You get laid off unexpectedly. Marriage doesn't always work out like we planned either. Maybe some of us might have planned on getting married and you thought this is what it was going to be, and then it didn't work the way that you thought, and you're still waiting. Or you were married. You had a wonderful marriage, and you were very happy with it, but you didn't plan on them dying before you. Or dying as early as they did. Or you go into marriage with lots of plans, how long it would be, how wonderful it would be. You never thought or planned you'd end up getting divorced. You never planned you'd end up being their caretaker, having to care for them as they faded. None of us ever planned for death either. Right, we don't wake up in the morning and think, well, I really hope today is the day I get a phone call that someone I love has died unexpectedly. That would be great. Okay, the death of those that we love, it can't be scheduled or planned, and a lot of times it comes at the very worst time. You know, that's the problem with a lot of our plans. They fail. They get interrupted. Sometimes they're interrupted because of wicked and evil people. And sometimes they're interrupted just because that's life, and we live in a sinful, fallen world, and things just don't work the way that we want them to. It's one of the most frustrating experiences of life, that you make plans, you have ideas, and they fail. Life doesn't turn out like you hoped. The day doesn't turn out like you dreamed. Sometimes everything just falls apart. But what do you do? I mean, how should we respond? I mean, first, we really shouldn't be surprised. And yet, every day, I'm surprised when all of my 37 plans don't work. I hate when my plans are ruined. I don't think any of us particularly like it. It can really throw me out of whack. I'm a creature of habit and routine. And when stuff goes off the rails quickly, I feel like my whole day can fall apart. I just can't walk. I can't think straight. And yet, it happens all the time. You think I'd get used to it, but I don't. I still just complain and wander on, get frustrated and angry. That's not how we should respond any of the times that our plans get off track. And we have to recognize it's going to happen, but the answer isn't just, okay, you know, realize it's all going to fall apart, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and let's keep going. We need something more than that. And what we need to remember is this, our point number two, is that you can't mess up God's purpose. You cannot mess up God's purpose. So you can't mess up God's purpose for your life either. You can't. Your bad planning can't do it. Making the wrong choice can't do it. Sometimes you might look back over significant decisions that you made in your life and think, well, maybe God didn't want me to do that. Maybe God didn't want me to move. Maybe we shouldn't have bought this house. Maybe God didn't want me to take that job. Maybe God really didn't want me to marry this person. Whatever that decision is for you when you look back, and it may even have been a bad decision. It may even have been obvious as you look back, wow, that was really unwise. Maybe it was even a sinful decision. Even then, none of our choices, none of our plans can mess up God's purpose for us. I think it's important, again, to note what the proverb says. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. These two ideas, they're kind of parallel to each other. We have our plans, and then we have God's purpose. The word change between plan and purpose is intentional, I think. I don't think it's just a being poetic and just changing the words to keep things interesting, to keep things from getting too repetitive. It's not that God's plans always work out, it's that God's purpose does. Because when we talk about God's plan, I think we can get it confused. Sometimes we say things, right? Like something unfortunate happens in your life, someone will come up to you and say, well, you know, I'm sure it's all going to happen according to God's plan. And it might make us feel better when we say it to somebody. It usually doesn't make us feel better when someone says it to us. And when we say that, it can get us confused, because if we're not careful, I think that kind of language about God's plan can actually lead us to some dangerous places. And what I mean by that, like, what's the difference between God's plan and God's purpose? Maybe I'm just being a frustrating academic and overly theological, but I don't think so. There is a difference. What we're trying to do is we're trying to hold different truths in tension. Okay, we are trying to hold the belief that God is in control of everything, and also, you know, we've got free will. We make free choices. We can make the decisions that we want. So God is in control. Nothing can happen that he doesn't allow. Nothing can challenge his power, his hold on our lives. And yet we can also make the decision we want to make. And God doesn't force us to do anything. And most significantly, we have to believe that God is not the author of evil. What I mean by that is God doesn't make anyone sin. Now, God allows evil to take place. God allows us to make evil, sinful choices, but God doesn't cause it. God doesn't make people murder one another. God doesn't force people to sin. And so when we talk about God's plan, we can make it seem as if God is like rooting for evil to happen, as if he is intending to do it, as if God wants people to sin. But God isn't actively planning or forcing evil to happen, as if so then his marvelous plan can all fall into place exactly how he wants it to be. But he is allowing it. And God knows it's going to happen. And God finds a way to use it for his purpose. And his purpose will always stand. You think of Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And it's God's purpose. He can use all things. And he does use all things. And he even uses evil, horrible, unspeakable, ununderstandable things. But he doesn't plan them. He doesn't cause them. That's a very important distinction. We need to get it right. God didn't want or cause Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery, but he allowed it. And he used it in order to save not just them, but to save all of the Jewish people from a famine. Okay, let me use a more personal example. Maybe this will help. Before I was born, when God was sitting and thinking over his purposes for my life, he wasn't thinking, you know what, I want David to go be a pastor. And so what I think I'm going to do is I think I'm going to have an older man come and sexually abuse him, because that is really going to prepare him for the ministry. And that's going to get his heart to be in a good place, and then he'll be able to minister to other people, and that'll just be really good. So I think that's what I'm going to do. Let me pick who I'm going to have go do that. That's not what God did. Now, God knew it would happen. I even believe God allowed it to happen, but he would not let that derail the purpose that he had for my life. That's the distinction that we're making. We make plans and they fail, but God has a purpose, and his purpose will always stand. You cannot mess it up. You can't mess it up, and no one else can mess it up either. Now, maybe this is too complicated. Maybe this is a little heady for you. That's okay. Let me bring you back in. What you just really need to know and understand, what I want you to walk away from, is that you can't mess up God's purpose for your life. There's nothing that you can do, there's nothing that anyone can do to you to make God's purpose fall over and fail. Because this is what we can worry about, especially when it comes time to make decisions. You know, should I retire? Should I not retire? Should I keep working because things are going really well? I don't know what to do. Trying to decide, do I need to take this job or should I take this other job? It looks like a great opportunity, but I'm going to have to move and then I might be further away from family. Is it time to move our family? Is it not? You see, whatever you decide in those moments, even if you make the wrong choice, it won't ruin God's purpose for you. It can't. I had a pastor friend who was calling me for advice. You know, he was trying to pray through and think, hey, do I want to try and stay at the church that I'm at, or there's this other church that I really like, and I'm really kind of between them. Which one, you know, do I need to do? It's going to be in a different state, but it's home, but my family's here. You know, how do I do that? How would I figure out what God wants? What's his will? You know, and it's hard in those moments. And what I want you to understand again is just even if we make the wrong choice, even if we make a choice and go, oh man, maybe that wasn't God. I thought God wanted me to do this, but it hasn't worked out the way that I think it is. You cannot mess up God's purpose for your life. You cannot stop God from doing what he wants to do with you. And God isn't done with you. God is not sitting up in heaven on his throne thinking, wow, I really hope that David makes the right decision today. Because if he makes the wrong choice here, it's going to ruin everything. And I'm going to have to start over from scratch. So, well, please, 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 David, do the right thing. It's going to ruin all my perfect plans if you don't do it. No, that's, our God's bigger than that. God's purpose will stand because nothing can knock it over. No storm can blow it off course, and none of our mistakes are powerful enough to change what God wants. If you think that you could mess up God's purpose for your life, you have a much higher view of yourself and a much lower view of God than you should. Because you must think that you're stronger than God. You must think that you're so incredible and so brilliant that you can outsmart God. Or you're so special and so unique that not even God could understand what you would do. You must come up with something that God had never thought of before. He couldn't plan that out. As if you could make a decision that God would have never taken into account or thought about. As if the God who created time hasn't had enough of it to figure out how you think or what he's going to do with you. As if the God who fashioned you and who made you in your mother's womb with tender love and care and who holds your body together and who the only reason that you are breathing is because he continues to allow it and he holds the breath in your lungs, as if you are strong enough to defeat him and ruin what he wants to do. Listen, you couldn't stop God's purpose for your life even if you tried. Okay, even if you decided to make it your mission and said, you know what, I am going to ruin whatever God wants to do with me. Even if you decided to walk away from God, even if you decided to convert not just to another religion, you decided you were going to actively worship demons because that's as far away from God as you get. You start building sacrifice, you know, altars in your house and doing blood sacrifices with goats. Okay, eventually even you go and you decide you get possessed by demons and you become the Antichrist. Okay, let's say you did that. You get Satan, all of his demons together, and you come up with all your plans and how you're going to stop and ruin God's purpose. Even if you did all of that, it's going to fail. It's not going to work, and God's purpose is going to stand, and he's going to use all the decisions you made anyway to bring about what he wants. Now, that's an absurd example. I don't think the Antichrist is in this room here with us today. I'm not really worried about that. I'm not worried about any of you building altars to sacrifice goats in your bathrooms. I doubt that any of us will start making those kind of choices. But all of us make choices and have moments where we wonder if we've ruined what God wanted for us. We have times where we made a decision or something happened and we think, maybe God can't use me anymore. You can't. You can't mess up God's purpose, even if you wanted to. Even if you're the Antichrist himself, you couldn't do it. So take a deep breath. So I tell my children every time they're freaking out and crying, let's just take a deep breath and let's stop for a moment. This should bring us comfort. It should ease our anxiety. You know, you can't mess up God's plan for your life. And I love Philippians 1:6. This is a hint of what God's purpose and his plan for us is. He says that he who began a good work in you will bring it about to completion. He will bring it about to completion. God isn't finished with you. God isn't finished with any of us. That he is working on our sanctification. And believe it or not, God has factored in your failures and your mistakes, your bad decision making, and we can't stop them. And God's primary purpose, what is his primary purpose for our life? It's to make us like Jesus. His purpose for our life is that throughout our life we would continue to be sanctified, that we would continue to grow more and more holy, that God would continue to draw us closer to himself as we grow in our faith, that we would continue to be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, that we would continue to grow and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in love and joy and peace and gentleness and self-control. His perfect for purpose for us is to be made perfect, that he would take us, and as we grow as a human being that we would that God loves, we would continue to turn into the person that he made and created us to be from the womb, that our sinful nature and that our sinful tendencies would slowly disappear and become less and less present, that the things that are wonderful and beautiful about us, about how God made us, would be more pronounced, and that one day when the work is completed, we would be restored to what God always intended and wanted us to be. That's God's purpose for us, that we would glorify him and enjoy him forever. And that's his purpose for our life, and there's nothing that we can do, nothing the enemy can do. There's nothing, no wrong that can come into your life, no mistake that you can make that will keep God from finishing the good work that he began in us and bringing it to completion. And you notice too, in Philippians, in there, you know, there's nothing that mentions the particulars of how our individual lives are lived. It's nothing about how our kids will turn out or if we'll have any. It's not about whether we're married or single or divorced or separated or widowed, whether we have 1,000 great grandchildren or no children at all, whether you live here or you move across the globe, whether you're a pastor or a plumber, whether you're retired or you're just tired all the time. There's nothing that can push God off. There's nothing that can stop his purpose for us. Because no matter what happens to you, no matter what you experience, no matter what you do, God isn't done with you. And you can't mess up his purpose. And God will continue working in us and sanctifying us and growing us until he returns and we're made like him and we're perfect. And we can look just at the story of the gospel for a reminder of this, you know. Look at the cross. Our God was born as a child. Our Savior came in flesh and he walked among us, and the enemy threw everything they could at him to make it stop. But every demon ran away. It couldn't resist him. Every sickness was cured. The enemy even tried to kill Jesus. They plotted and thought maybe this will stop him, but his death was all part of the purpose God had. And the enemy's best shot at Jesus just led to the resurrection and our hope. What Satan thought was his moment of glory was our deliverance. The story of the gospel just reminds us you can't stop God's purpose. The enemy's going to throw all that they can at God at the end of the world, but it won't lead to the destruction of the world. It will lead to the victory of Jesus. The world will be restored. The heavens and the earth will be remade. Shalom and peace will return. The enemy can't mess up God's plans, and neither can you. So we know our problem, okay? We know our hope, God's in control, but practically, how do we respond to that? How should that change how we live? Well, I think that how should the truth of the gospel change how we live? Our last point, point number three, is that we just make plans with faith in God's purpose. That we make plans with faith in God's purpose. Our plans are going to fail, but God's purpose will not. Now, the temptation may be to just give up and not make any plans anymore. Our temptation may be to just become lazy. Okay, now I'm somebody who firmly believes in the sovereignty of God and the control of God in every aspect of our lives. Some of you might call me a Calvinist. I may or may not agree with you, depending on what you mean by that. So one of the charges people will bring if you talk about God's sovereignty and God's in control of everything, it's like, well, why do I need to do anything then? Why does it matter? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let God do everything. Well, that's the wrong idea. And I think when we have that attitude about things, it can reveal the true motivation behind a lot of what we do. We don't do what we do out of a deep love for God and a devotion for him. We do it for ourselves. We want to accomplish something. And as soon as maybe we're not allowed to take credit or we can't get the glory, as soon as we're not the ones responsible for everything, well, now I'm not interested in making plans anymore. If they're not going to succeed, and I don't get to be the one who does it. No, the idea of God's control and his purpose standing, it should be freeing for us. It should remove our anxiety and our worry. It shouldn't make us stop planning. It should make us be able to plan just with joy and freedom and faith. Okay, it means, well, I don't need to stress and sit and think up with, you know, 57 different ways that I can handle this next elder meeting that's coming this week, because we got some stuff that's important. I'm not sure how they're going to respond to some things, so let me sit down and come up with all the different ways this is going to go. That means I don't have to do that. It means you don't have to come up with a million different plans for how you're going to handle the next stage of your life. It just means do your best. Have faith. Use some wisdom. Take a deep breath. Ask for advice, read your Bible, pray, then trust that God's in control. There's a prayer that I pray over and over when it comes time to make big decisions. I took it from the Bible, so you can take it from me, because it's not mine, but it's in Jeremiah 10, 24. Jeremiah says, "Correct me, Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest I die." So I pray that. That all these times, whenever I come to a decision, I'm like, "Lord, I'm about to make a big decision. I hope this is the right one. Don't really know if it's the right one. So this is the one I'm doing. If this is dumb, if you really don't want me to do this, please correct me. But not in anger, lest I die." And that's it. We pray, we plan, we do our best to follow Jesus, because our plans are going to fail. God doesn't expect us to have it all figured out. God doesn't expect our plans to be perfect. He doesn't need you to have the perfect plan. He doesn't want you to be. He just wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be following him, to be trying to follow Jesus. And the idea of God's control, his sovereignty, and his purpose, and it being sure, it should help our own feet be sure. It should give us confidence to walk forward and have faith, to make plans trusting. You know, hey, if this is a bad plan and it's going to break down, that's okay. God's going to use it, and his purpose for our world and for my life is going to be accomplished. And I can trust him. I don't know about for you, but I find it really freeing. It's a lesson that I have to continue to remind myself about over and over, and it's a lesson that I have to keep taking to heart, that God's in control, his purpose will stand. I can plan, I should plan, but it's going to fail, and that's okay. Because God's purpose will stand. So where have we been this morning? You know, our plans are going to fail. God's purpose is going to stand, and we can just plan with faith in God's purpose. I'll close with this story. I remember I went to a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary because I was trying to ask him for advice. And really, I was trying to ask him particularly for advice on how to figure out what church I needed to end up at. Because I was applying at hundreds of different churches at all these different states all over the country, doing all these different interviews and making visits. And so, you know, I was trying to come up with a plan. What do I do? How do I know God's will? So I went to Dr. Burns, because he was one of my favorite professors. He'd been teaching at Dallas for close to 40 years. And he's seen thousands, at least hundreds, if not thousands, of guys like me. So I thought, well, let's see what he has to say. I'm sure he really knows. Told him my conundrum. Okay, I gave him the rundown. Well, here's a couple churches. Here's where I'm at. Here's what I'm trying to kind of decide, and, you know, kind of on the fence. And I thought, he's been here so long. He's done this. He's gonna have the wisdom. He's gonna let me know what I need to do. And I thought he's gonna give me something really profound that's just gonna help me know I'm gonna make the right decision to figure out God's plan, and it's gonna be awesome. And then Dr. Burns said, well, you know, the way you know if God calls you somewhere is a church calls you and they ask you to be your pastor and you say yes, and then, you know, well, God called you there. And I was really frustrated with that answer. So I thought, that doesn't help me at all. That sounds so dumb. What if they're the first one to call me? You know, I couldn't tell in the moment. I was like, maybe this is just a generational divide. Maybe this is how people did it in his day. And, you know, things are different now. You know, maybe he just has a really different view of what God's will and God's purpose and his call is. You know, maybe there's other theological things going on. And it took me kind of a long time to understand what he was getting at. Because I think what he was trying to help me see was what this proverb is getting. So he was like, man, it really doesn't really matter where you go. It's really not as significant as you think it is. Just trust the Lord, pray, make a choice, and God's purpose is going to be accomplished. I didn't like it at the time. It took me a few years before I came around and saw what he was getting at. But now I get it. And I think he's right. Not just when you're trying to decide what church you're going to have, but with a lot of the decisions that we make. We have lots of plans, travel plans and lunch plans. Our plans aren't going to turn out the way that we want them to. That's okay. Because God's purpose for our life, to glorify Him, to enjoy Him forever, and to be like Jesus, will stand. And whatever plans and whatever steps in the journey you take between them and now, God's purpose for your life will stand. So just go in faith. Take a deep breath and trust Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you fix all of our bad plans. I thank you and I praise you for your grace. That no matter the decisions we make, no matter the sinful decisions we make, no matter the wrong decisions we make, no matter the sinful things that are done to us or that we do to others, Lord, that your purpose for our life will be accomplished. That the good work that you began to do in us when we gave our lives to Jesus will not stop and cannot be thrown off track. As long as we continue to follow you in faith, your will for our life will be done. Lord, would you give us confidence? Lord, would you give us faith? Would you help us to not be tossed to and fro by the world, by the news, and by the winds and the waves? Would you help us to trust you, to trust your purposes, and to just make our plans and take it day by day, trusting that you are in control and that your purpose for our life will be accomplished, no matter what we do. And we pray this in your holy and in your precious name. Amen. Why don't you stand as we worship our Savior through song one more time. Amen. Here our benediction from the end of 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Go in peace.